Grace to all of you, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this evening. Amen. All Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture. When I was interviewing, before I was ever a pastor, interviewing to become a pastor, my first position, I remember having a phone call interview with Lutheran Church of the Master in Omaha. And one of their questions, this is the initial interview, one of their questions struck me as rather odd. They asked me, "Do you believe in the authority of all 66 books of the Bible?" I answered, "Yes," hoping that there were 66 books of the Bible. But I thought they wouldn't make that kind of thing up. But then I thought to myself, why did they ask that question anyway? What pastor did they come in contact along the way who did not believe that every book of the Bible was the authoritative word of God? And then I wondered, are there Christians who like pick and choose books of the Bible that they want to believe in and not others? Well, the answer is yes, there are Christians. But this is not a new thing, believe it or not. It was made famous by a guy named Marcion back in the 2nd century, so early on. He argued that the God, as we hear about him in the Old Testament, and God, as we hear about him in the New Testament, don't seem to match up very well, in his opinion. For instance, in the Old Testament, God seemed vindictive, jealous, mean, while God in the New Testament seems kind, loving, forgiving. In fact, there was one passage in particular that really ticked Marcion off. And it was from the book of 2 Kings about the prophet Elisha. And I think this is such a good one. I'm going to read it for you. "From there, Elisha went up to Bethel. And as he was walking along the road, some youths came out of the town and jeered at him. 'Go on up, you bald head.' They said, 'Go on up, you bald head.' He turned around, looked at them, and called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths." Marcion argued that any God who would send bears to attack 42 kids just because they were making a mean joke was incompatible with the Jesus that he knew. So he believed that the Bible should no longer include the Old Testament. But it didn't end there. I mean, since he had discarded the entire Old Testament, any New Testament passages that referred to the Old Testament had to be taken out. And apparently, there were some other New Testament passages he didn't like either. In the end, he took out all the Gospels, except for Luke, which he pared down. And, of course, many of the people at the time were thinking, well, this is great. I love this new Bible. A God who doesn't do anything confusing or mean anymore, a God that doesn't ask me to do things I never wanted to do in the first place, count me in, right? But the early church realized that this was not the way to handle confusing or challenging Bible passages. We don't just pretend that the verses don't exist. We wrestle with them, like Jacob wrestled with God. Marcion's technique of taking out what was complicated or difficult was finally considered a heresy by the early church. Yes, the Bible is sometimes very confusing and difficult to hear for us sometimes, but we don't just get to throw out whatever we don't like about it. Martin Luther argued, in fact, that it isn't the Bible that's confusing. It's us as sinners who are confused. We're imperfect. We're not wise like God is. So when we come to a passage of the Bible that we don't understand, he argued that maybe, just maybe, it's us, we're the problem, rather than God's word that's the problem. I'll just give you a simple example of how something I was confused about as a kid. In Romans chapter 12, it says, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So as a child, I thought, that's how you get people back. You're nice to them. You kill them with kindness. It's going to be just like pouring hot coals on their head. That's what God wants me to do. But I learned I was wrong. I mean, that was just incorrect. My way of thinking about this was wrong. This passage, in fact, refers to a ritual of repentance that was common back then in the Middle East. Someone who had done something wrong would go to the person they had wronged, and they would put a bowl of burning coal on their head, and they would walk away from the person, and then they would walk back to the person. And this was symbolizing turning away from their sin. My point is this: just because you don't understand or don't like something in the Bible doesn't mean you have the right to just throw it out. Maybe you just need to learn a little bit more. But Christians are still doing this today. They want to throw out parts of their Bible that they personally disagree with, or that they just doesn't seem to fit in our society today. Instead of wrestling with things that seem like contradictions in the Bible to them, they just declare, the whole book is suspect because I just don't get it. Or maybe they only read the New Testament anymore because the Old Testament doesn't jive with their idea of who God is. But that's the problem, I think. The Bible is supposed to change us, not the other way around. We're not called to change the Bible. If you find something written in the Bible that challenges your lifestyle or challenges your way of thinking about God, maybe ask yourself if you could learn something. If just maybe you should take that into consideration and ask yourself, maybe I need to change. Maybe my way of thinking about God needs to change. If you find something in the Bible confusing, instead of just criticizing it for being too complicated, maybe seek an answer by learning more about it. During the season of Lent, we're called to take a hard look at our lives to see where we have each fallen short. That means taking all the words of the Bible seriously in all 66 books, asking ourselves tough questions, learning as much as we can about God's Word. Because while the Bible does indeed have a lot of stuff in it that we struggle with, it also has the words of eternal life that Jesus gave us. And even though I don't understand why God would send Jesus to earth to die for undeserving sinners like you and me, I just don't get it. I'm grateful for it. I'm glad I learned about it. And I want to spend the rest of my life learning and listening and reading about those wonderful words of life. All of them. Amen.